God demonstrated his love to you through the cross. He loves you. I've got some good news for you. No matter what you've done this week, no matter how you fail, and by the way, I'm right along with you, he's not mad at us. He loves us. That's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. You can be forgiven. So his love is demonstrated at the cross, and his power is demonstrated through the resurrection. God has all power. We talk a lot about atomic weapons that bring death, but Jesus is the only one who can conquer death and bring life. He brings life. Great, great power. More power than anyone on this earth has any idea about. When you die, if Christ is in your heart, you'll live forever. Turn your Bibles, please, if you would, to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. If you didn't bring your Bible, you can just listen as I read. There are places in the bulletin for you to make some notes if you would like. Today I want to talk to you about take hold of hope. It's been said that a person can live weeks without food, a few days without water, but just a few hours without hope. Because of Christ's resurrection, the struggles you and I face on this earth, the difficulties we face in this life, the heartbreak of people hurting us and us hurting others, there's hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together as we read God's Word. We'll begin our reading in Hebrews chapter 6, and I'm going to start in verse 13 rather than 17, so follow with me. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Would you say that those words after me? He obtained the promise. Say that. He obtained the promise. That's what we're after, obtaining the promises of God. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them, an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, and that's us, the immutability or the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed by an oath that by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. Would you say that with me? It's impossible for God to lie. We may have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope. That's where I got the title for the message, to lay hold of the hope set before us. What is this hope? We read it, we heard Bree sing it, that he's alive. And he promises, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He promises that you're going to live. Now, verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of our soul. In other words, you won't drift. It's like a boat with an anchor on a solid rock. You won't drift. It's the anchor of your life, your soul. Both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place, the priest could only enter into the Holy of Holies once a year, that veil was torn when Jesus died. It was ripped, thicker than a man's hand, taller than this building. It was ripped in two, signifying the way is open to God. where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So here's what God's word is saying. There are two truths that are unchangeable. Number one, God's word is true. He cannot lie. When he gives his word, he keeps his word. And number two, he has unchangeable character. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you can count on him. He swears by himself because there's no one greater. I will keep my word. He told his disciples, I will conquer death. I'm going to die, but I'll conquer death. And he did. And you will too if Christ is in your heart. Father, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would speak to the hearts and minds of everyone here. And may your Holy Spirit draw each of us to you as we think about holding on to hope, the hope that we have in you, the hope that's eternal, the hope that's the anchor of our soul. And Lord, I know that you're praying for us this morning, all of us, that all of us would become deeper in our relationship with you, but those who do not know you would trust you as Savior and Lord of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, please. There's a man by the name of Dan Ryland. You probably don't know him, but Dan became a friend of mine when I was working with John Maxwell. Dan was John's right-hand man. But Dan, as a teenager growing up in San Diego, had no interest in the things of God. But because a friend invited him, I want you to hear that. A friend did what? Invited him to come to Easter service. When he came in, there was a cross like this one, and on the cross it said, He is risen. He is risen. And while he was there, the message was preached, the invitation was given, but he didn't respond. But yet in his heart, he didn't know it then, but in his heart, the Holy Spirit was working. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, Dan, this is true. The resurrection is truth. The next day at school, he saw the friend that invited him to church and said, I didn't pray that prayer to receive Christ yesterday, but could you take me back next Sunday so I could pray the prayer? And his friend rightly said to him, Dan, you don't have to wait till next Sunday. We can find a place right here, and you can ask Christ to come into your life. And Dan did, and God called him, and God has used him to reach multiple thousands of people throughout this world. Christ is real. And the only way you can experience him is through his word, and by his Spirit drawing you. So today, if you have this drawing, this want to in your heart, to believe, that's the Spirit of God working in you. And you need to be excited about that. Because, the Bible says he won't always strive with man. That means he won't always draw us. That's a scary thought. To get past a point where God's not speaking to me. He's speaking to you. He's drawing you. Listen to these truths. So here's what I want to talk about when we talk about taking hold of hope. I want to look at the basis of our hope and faith in Christ. The first thing I've written for you is what he did. The basis of our hope and faith is what he did. What did he do? Well, he died on a cross for our sins. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, you can just listen if you would. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men for all have sinned. Where did death come from? God made us to live with him for eternity. But Adam sinned, and because he sinned, God had to cast him out of the garden because he didn't want him to eat of the tree of the everlasting life. So he had to get him out of the garden so that he would not live, we would not live in a fallen state all of eternity. So he got him outside the garden, man sinned, and since that time, we inherit his sin nature, we all sin. So what happened? Look in verse 8, the same chapter, Romans 5, 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, the scripture says that Jesus Christ, because God loves you, came and died on the cross for your sins. You don't have to die for your sins. Are you going to die? Yes. Unless Jesus comes back and takes us home, which we're going to be talking about next week. The next two Sundays, I'm going to be talking about the end of time. I believe what's going on in our world with Korea and China and Russia, I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time. I heard this past week that sales are up, skyrocketing, people buying and building bunkers. Good luck with that. I mean, you can try to be safe, but I'm telling you, you can't protect yourself, but there's one who can. And he loves you, and he died for you, and he knows time is running out, and he's not willing, the Bible says, that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And you're here today. You're here today because you know in your heart, time is running out, and God is speaking to your heart, drawing you. You said, no, I'm here because my mom wanted me to come, or my dad wanted me to come, or my name. No, you're here because God drew you. He might have used them, but he's drawing you. And he wants you to know time's running out. If we're here next week, we'll talk more about that. If not, I hope I'll see you on the way up. Amen. But listen closely. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, come closely. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus died for you. You deserve death, I deserve death, but Jesus took our place. That's what he did. But not only did he die for us, but he rose again. The Bible says, Jesus speaking to Mary, I am, and to all of us, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus said, if you'll believe me, if you'll trust me, if you'll receive me into your life, I will take you to heaven when I die, or when you die. Now, I want you to look, if you would, in John chapter 11, verse 25. John chapter 11, verse 25. You can turn to it or you can just listen as I read. John chapter 11, verse 25. I wanted you to hear, I quoted it, but I wanted you to see it. Jesus said to her, Lazarus, his friend and Mary's brother, was a death, had died. But Jesus said to her on his way to the tomb, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. What a promise. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Would you repeat that after me? I don't want you to miss it. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. You say, what do you mean, shall never die? I mean, shall never die. What do you mean? We all die. No. Christians, we just go to sleep. We'll talk more about that next week as well, but we just fall asleep. My mother, I stood with her and saw her pass into heaven. A dear, dear friend named Bindle Johnson passed into heaven. My dad, when I was young, had multiple sclerosis. I was in the house when he passed on to heaven. We don't really die when we're in Christ. We're just transferred to a new place. We live forever. So, what did he do? He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again. What else did he do? Well, he ascended to heaven. Let's go to the next point. What is he doing? What is he doing? He ascended to heaven, and we read a moment ago in Hebrews that he's in heaven into the Holy of Holies, the right hand of God. What's he doing? He's praying for you. What's he praying? Well, he's praying that you would know him as Savior and Lord of your life. He's praying that you would find the joy of living the abundant life that he promised. He's praying for you that you would help others come to know him, because life is all about him. Come close to me just a second. If we're not careful, we get wrapped up in things. If we're not careful, we get wrapped up in money and what someone else has or what someone else makes or what someone else does. You know, we get all wrapped up in that. And that just shows what's really in your heart. Here's what I want you to know. God's in charge. And what you need to focus on is the resurrected living Christ, and let him take care of you. And he will. Are y'all with me? That's what he's doing. He wants to take care of you. He resurrected and he sent his Holy Spirit to indwell you. He's ascended and he's interceding for you. But look in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 12. In John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, "As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God." Look in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. You say, well, how do I have become a child of God? You receive him into your life. How do you receive him into your life? You believe, and then you receive. You believe, and then you receive. There is a man named Lee Strobel. How many of you, I mentioned this last week, but how many of you have heard of the movie that's out, Case for Christ? Any of you? Okay. If you haven't, I challenge you to go see it. It's called The Case for Christ. Lee Strobel was a newspaper writer for the Chicago Tribune. And his wife came to Christ there in Chicago. This was in the 1970s. And he was so angry that he set out to prove that she was wrong. She didn't know what he was doing. I don't want to give the whole movie away, but I tell you, the research that he did was astounding. And you need to see it. The Case for Christ. He went out to prove that the resurrection was a hoax. And one day he came home in repentance with his wife and gave his life to Christ and became a minister in Chicago and has touched millions of lives. There's been people down through history trying to disprove the resurrection. It cannot be disproved. And the only way you can know for sure that it's real is to let Jesus, the resurrected Lord, come live in your heart. Listen to what John chapter 14 says. Look in verse 12. Jesus speaking, and he keeps his word. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Now look, in verse 15. "If you keep my commandments, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." He will give you another what? Let's say it out loud. He'll give me a... How many of you know you need a helper? You can't make it in this world by yourself. He promises to give you a helper. What is his name? His name is the Holy Spirit. "That he may abide with you," how long? Forever. The body, when a person dies, our body stays here, but our spirit goes to be with the Lord. We, the real you, goes to be with the Lord. And one day, that'll be reunited. Again, we'll talk about that next week as well. He will give you a helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be what? In you. That's it. How do you become a Christian? Not by being a Baptist, not by being a Methodist, not by being a Catholic, by asking Christ to come and dwell with you. And his Spirit, the Spirit that he sent to this earth after his resurrection, will live within you. Now follow. And I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Now look at verse 19. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know, K-N-O-W, that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and I am in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Look in verse 23. Stay with me. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him. How many of you need a helper? You raised your hand a while ago. How about God? That's a pretty good helper. How about Jesus and the Holy Spirit in you? That's a good helper. The one who conquered death will come live within you and give you assurance and give you hope and give you strength and give you power if you trust him as Savior and Lord of your life. Ask Dan Ryland, ask Lee Strobel, and you'll find that you can go a lifetime trying to prove it's not true, but if you'll just believe by the power of the Holy Spirit drawing you, you'll have life and assurance. Some of you perhaps are in this room and say, well, I've tried this religious stuff before. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship with Christ. You say, well, I've known some of those Baptists. They just find fault. They're just complainers. They're gripers. Don't worry about those Baptists. Worry about those who are truly born again. Just be born again. The Spirit of God in you. It's not about others, how they act. It's about your relationship with Christ. Amen? All right, so what did he do? He died on the cross for your sins. He rose again. What is he doing? He's interceding for you. And besides that, his Spirit is indwelling you, helping you, guiding you, directing you. And if you've never received Christ, his Spirit is drawing you today to receive him. What's the third thing? Well, what he will do. Not only what he did, not only what he's doing, but what he will do. Look in John chapter 14. I use this scripture a lot at funerals. Isn't that encouraging? You say, well, I didn't come for a funeral. No, you came for the resurrection. That's why I use this scripture a lot. John chapter 14. Here's what Jesus said. And he doesn't lie. He always keeps his word. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus said, I'm going away, but don't be troubled about that, because at the right time, I'll come and get you. How many of you, don't raise your hands, just think about it. How many of you have ever been at the bedside of someone as they passed? If they're a Christian, it's incredible peace and joy. If they're not a Christian, it's great fear and anxiety. Why? Because for a Christian, he comes and he gets them and takes them home. I've sat with people and I've heard them say, I see Grandma I see mom. I see they, right before they leave, they begin to see. And I've heard people tell me about folks who said, saying their loved ones said, Jesus is here. Come close. You have a helper. And he wants to be there when you leave this world, and he will be there. In fact, he promised, and God keeps his word. His character is always the same. You can count on him. Not like others. You can count on him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll come back and get you. Hey, Bob, that's going to be a great day, isn't it? Are you ready? I know you are. I am too. I'm ready to go. I'm willing to stay, but I'm ready to go. Are you ready to go? The good news is he's coming back. And not only does he come back when it's time for you to leave, but the scripture teaches, and we'll delve into it next week, that there's two returns of our Lord Jesus Christ coming back. What's he going to do? The Bible says there's going to be a rapture. That's what we'll talk about next week. And then the Bible says there's going to be a second coming. That's what we'll talk about the following week. Woo! That's exciting. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? You say, well, that guy in Korea is going to blow us all up. Donald to get him. We can laugh, but it's pretty scary stuff. You need to build you a bunker. No. What you need to do is get prepared for heaven. Because there is nothing, 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 nothing on this earth that can keep you safe. Nothing. Except the one who lives in you, if you've trusted him as Savior and Lord of your life. I preached a message on the rapture one Sunday, and we went out visiting. And boy, that's so important as a church. If you're a guest today and someone wants to come see you, that's a real blessing for you and for them. Get to know some folks. But we went out visiting the next, I think it was Sunday, Monday. And a friend of mine, a guy I was discipling, he went with me. And we went to a mobile home there in Hera, Oklahoma. It's one of those visits I'll never forget. We knocked on the mobile home, and this big old guy named Roy Davis answered the door. He said, "Preacher, come on in." And I said, "Okay." And so I came in, and he introduced me to his wife, Virginia. He said, "We were at church Sunday, and these are my three sons." I said, and he said, "I'm so glad you came because I've got a lot of questions about the return of Christ." I said, "A lot of people do." So we talked about it a while. And finally, I said, "Roy, the most important thing is you need to ask God to forgive you of your sins and ask Christ to come into your life." I said, "If you want to do that, I'll pray with you. And all you have to do, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do, Roy, is ask him to come into your life, and you'll have hope, assurance that everything's going to be okay." He said, I'm afraid, but I'm just not ready to do that." And Virginia said, "I am, and our boys are. We don't want to be left." Roy said, "I'm not ready." I don't know why I felt impressed to do this, but I said, "Okay, Roy, I'm counting you're supposed to lead your family. So I'm going to walk out this door, and you're responsible for the life and eternal life of your family." I haven't done that before or since. I got up to leave. Roy grabbed me. He said, "Sit down. Tell me how I get right with God." And I prayed with him and Virginia and their three boys, and all three of them asked Christ to come into their lives. A few months later, Lynn and I were leaving the church, going to another church. They had a reception for us, and he came by and just started sobbing. and said, "Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming by to see me." I don't think I ever would have received Christ. You know, somebody brought you today because they love you. And they want you to have hope. A living hope, an anchor for your soul, something to anchor your life on. And that is that Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again, is ascended to heaven, is praying for you that you'll receive him. And if you will, he'll come dwell in your heart by his Holy Spirit. And one day he'll come and take you home. Would you receive him into your life today? You can't unless you ever want to. Don't try to make it up. But if you have this beating in your chest, that's the Spirit of God working. Would you bow your heads for a moment, please? Father in heaven, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you'll draw men, women, boys, and girls to Christ right now. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you pray and ask Jesus to come to your life, by his Spirit, he'll come live within you. But you can't do it unless you ever want to. So if you ever want to, I'm going to give you some words to pray, but they have to come from your heart. So you pray these words after me. You pray them in your heart as I pray them out loud. Better than that, let's just all pray out loud. It won't hurt you. It won't hurt me to pray this prayer. It won't hurt you. But if you've never prayed it before, Christ will come live in your heart. Everyone join me in praying this prayer out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner and that you died for my sins and that you rose again and you're praying for me. And you sent your Spirit to indwell me. I receive him into my life right now. Therefore, I receive you. Take over my life. Help me to follow you and obey you. And take me to heaven when I die. In Jesus' name I pray. Now let me pray. Father in heaven, I pray that for those who prayed that prayer and really meant it, that you'll seal it in their hearts and that have the courage to take their stand for you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.